I really cannot explain." His words had all of the mages in the room look at him. Several did a double take, and a few gasped.
You beast! What did you do with Dale?
Chandra's hands and eyes lit up with mana. I'm still me. Dale tried to remain calm, eyeing the deadly glow. Also, if I understand my situation correctly, I am immune to the disease. More gasping, and a few suspicious looks were his reward for honesty.
Well, not technically, but for all real purposes, I guess that works, if you don't mind me chopping bits off of you. I slowly agreed.
I mind, but as long as you only do it to infected bits and you grow them back, I think it'll be fine.
Dale agreed to my statement, and also found the loophole I was trying to use. Darn, I was hoping you would agree to let me eat you when this was over. I laughed as his face twisted.
Immune! And there is a core in your system. How did we not see this?
Frank muttered, still mistrustful of this new situation.
I really can't say, Dale apologetically muttered.
There is going to be some long talks when this is all over, Dale, Chandra threatened. You'd better get your story straight by then.
I'll see what we can do, Dale promised,
then quickly tried to recant his slip of the tongue.
What I can do.
Fine. You still need more people. You need to make it up the stairs, through the horde, and apply the reagent. That isn't a two-person job.
Amber's voice was harsh and filled with frustration.
I'll only take volunteers.
Dale agreed with Frank on that particular subject. They went out and asked for people to brave the conditions, but the area stayed near silent. Dale's group all stepped forward bravely, but no other mages or regular cultivators offered their services. They had already agreed that the rest of the council would stay as a last line of defense.
Wow, what brave people you have in your little city, I told Dale sarcastically.
I'll bolster your ranks then. Clear your pet alchemist out of that room, and please don't kill your helpers.
I set to work creating a full contingent of goblins, not giving them mithril, but still filling their weapons and armor with powerful enchantments. That way, if they were killed when they stepped out, a human wouldn't make off with a nearly indestructible material. Danny interrupted my concentration.
I'm going too, Cal. I don't trust these people to get the job done without some serious goblin power.
Danny, no.
She was already following her secret tunnels to the next floor.
I sighed. I try so hard to keep her safe, and she just throws herself back into the fight.
Oh, well.
If you feel you must go, I'm going to be setting your armor and weapons to the maximum.
Neat,
she chimed, circling the spawn room as I formed the goblin Amazon. I didn't bother to set her armor to the side. I formed a seamless set of aluminum around her towering form. Danny entered the huge mob and took a deep breath as I flooded the aluminum armor with essence, pleased as it darkened to a silvery purple. Mithril. She prepared her weapons and nodded as I swung the door open.
There were a few shouts as a dozen goblins and one goblin Amazon entered the area, but they stayed right next to the door and didn't make any hostile moves, so the humans calmed down fairly quickly.
Dale, I have a matching battle gauntlet for you. Actually, I'm equipping your whole group. We are going through the tunnels to a different fort that didn't have the defenses lowered, so hurry up. I was looking for the best place to move the group to, and I found one closer to the entrance of this floor that wasn't entirely flooded with infected. Just mostly flooded.
The group started moving hesitantly past the steel-clad goblins and very cautiously past Danny's over-armored form.
Wait!
A voice called.
I'm coming with you.
Dale and I looked at the speaker, watching as Nick strolled up to the group.
Dale was quite a bit happier about the help than I was.
All right, Nick. Thank you. Any help is greatly appreciated. You'll be well rewarded for your services.
Yes, I will be,
Nick stated flatly.
Hans clapped him on the arm.
Ah, yes. Nothing like being a jackass to make people want to shower you in silver. Well, molten silver. How do you feel about being a statue?
Look, I am here to make that cure happen and get the hell out of this death trap, Nick growled. I'm the leader of the collective. All I was supposed to be doing was making money here, not playing nursemaid to a bunch of incompetents.
I'm coming as well.
Me too.
Dale looked back to see both Minya and Nez trying to stare the other down.
Yes, and Abyss no. Nez, you're with Adam. Minya, go play with the infected.
When are you going to let go of your anger toward the dungeon, Dale?
Minya asked scathingly.
The dungeon is just following its nature.
I usually go by he or Cal, I stated blandly.
You know what? I suppose you're just trying to protect my identity. Carry on.
Minya, if I'm not here, you are the only one that can...
He leaned in close and whispered, talk to the dungeon and get a backup plan. You need to stay.
She scrutinized his face.
Is that really the reason you don't want me along?
She crossed her arms.
No, but it works really well as a reason to make you stay,
Dale answered, eliciting a squawk of rage from the mage.
She turned and stormed off, fuming.
That was harsh, Dale.
Rose shook her head at Dale's treatment of the lady.
We could have used her help.
Trust me, we don't want it, Dale firmly stated. Let's go.
They walked into the room and found a few presents.
I had made a matching battle gauntlet for Dale with a slight variation. Instead of a fluid repulsion rune on it, I had placed an essence-gathering rune combined with the draining portion of the demon-summoning rune I had, acquired a while back. I was unsure if it would work as intended, but I had run essence through a different version a while back, and it didn't explode. It was supposed to rip the essence out of whatever Dale hit and store it in the core hidden in the folds of fabric. It would drain infernal, water, and earth corruption from Dale to power itself, but that shouldn't be an issue with the taint gathering cores around his center. For Tom, I had made a large chunk of armor. It was basically a great shield that strapped onto his body. A person with two arms couldn't have worn it at all, so it was perfect for the one-armed barbarian. With this on, he could act as a mobile battering ram. I also made it enchanted so that he wouldn't need to use his personal reserves to use it correctly. I chuckled in merriment when his eyes lit up. He had gotten his warhammer back as well. He roared in approval.
Today is a glorious day for battle. Perhaps I can fall in combat and join the ranks of the fallen warriors on the fields of heavenly war.
Or maybe you could try really hard to survive and keep us alive too,
Nick scathingly snarled.
Dale started to have second thoughts about this man being on the team.
Rose acquired a bow with a force enhancement enchantment, as well as reinforced arrows that wouldn't shatter when the bow fired them. A few arrows were tipped with small jars of explosive fluids, and there was a small collection that had sharpening enchantments for piercing armor. Adam got a white robe with a fine mesh of mithril throughout it, well hidden by the cloth. This would stop almost any stabbing weapons, but didn't offer too much protection against direct force or blunt weapons. Dale explained to him in a whisper how amazing the robe was, keeping it a secret from the greedy leader of the collective.
Hans got nothing.
This is total... Why doesn't your mysterious benefactor like me?
Hans whined as he simultaneously twirled four knives across his fingers.
Shall we?
Dale looked around for the nervous faces, ignoring Hans.
They set out, walking along the tunnel to the next fort, nervously listening to the sounds of fighting, wailing, and scraping through the thin stone walls. Periodic explosions transformed the wailing into snarls and screams of pain or fury, but the weeping would soon return to being a constant background noise.
"This is horrifying,"
Rose whispered, her eyes round with fright. Dale made a motion at her as the ambient noise lessened a bit on the other side of the wall and querying sounds could be heard. Holding a finger to his lip, Dale pantomimed Rose closing her mouth. The noise picked up on the other side, and the group breathed a collective, silent sigh of relief. Treading carefully, they soon found themselves in a room identical to the one they had begun their journey in.
"It should be safe to quietly talk, if you really need to."
Dale looked around. No takers.
"Ah!"
I screamed in his mind. Dale jumped, nearly falling and bashing into the wall next to him. Luckily, a huge hand caught and steadied him.
"Cal, must you be so funny?"
Danny thought at me in consternation as she patted Dale on the head.
I just think Dale is being too serious about this. I believe in you, Dale,
I cheered him on in a falsetto.
I hate this place,
Dale muttered softly.
It grows on you.
Danny patted him on the head again and ruffled his hair. Her voice made the others all stare at her. Hans asked the question they were all thinking.
You are an intelligent being? I thought you mobs were mostly animals.
I'm smarter than you are, Hans.
Danny walked forward to the exit. Hans gave a panicked look to Dale.
It knows my name,
he whispered harshly. Danny threw open the door and charged into battle amidst howls of outrage from the infected. I watched as she plowed into them, a whirling cyclone of blades. I'm gonna lock the door behind you so the fort isn't overrun. She didn't answer, too caught up in the slaughter. The remaining people charged into battle, doing their best to clear her out without stopping to try and set up a defensible area. They were surrounded, and their best chance was to charge the stairs. With the loss of only 4 goblins, they reached the bottom of the upward spiral. A huge mass of bodies greeted them. This was the choke point of the entering abominations.
How the abyss are we supposed to get through that?
Adam muttered anxiously.
I'll take care of it,
Danny informed them with a growl.
Cover me!
Danny, I've been using the vents in this area to filter out nitrogen and other gases from the homogeneous mixture of breathable content.
Cal, all you told me was to start a really hot fire. Is that still the plan?
Danny rumbled ominously, cutting me off quite rudely.
Well, yes. I just wanted to let you know why this...
Danny grunted and held forward her weapons. Crossing them, she released a gout of fire through a thin film of celestial essence. Holy fire raged outward, reducing all in its reach to cinders. The fire suddenly roared higher as it reached my prepared area, and a concussive blast resounded, throwing Danny back like a rag doll. Hans was suddenly in front of her, casually holding out one hand. In front of him was a wall of fire, which curled back and away. The fire was only racing up the stairs. The high oxygen content in the area allowed the blaze to burn exponentially hotter than it ever could have under normal circumstances. The celestial tinged fire moved quickly, but consumed all the available air in the tunnel, burning out too quickly to superheat the stone stairs or wall. Danny bellowed,
Go, go, go!
Fresh air was beginning to be pulled up the stair shaft, and they ran forward, propelled by an updraft. The sentients raced up the stairs, slipping over meaty chunks of semi-seared flesh. I did my best to absorb all of the bodies before they got to them, trying to ease their passage. Scores of low-cultivation infected had died, but a few lived through the initial blast. Most of those were writhing on the floor, burned, blinded, and dying, but a few were standing up, trying to breathe the deoxygenated air. Those few took swipes at the running group, but were killed in passing. Much to my delight. I looked at where they were running and swore vigorously.
Danny, unfortunately that blast cleared the way for a few mages to wander to the boss room. Do you want me to open a basher warren and hide you while they pass?
Danny paused, causing those behind her to bounce off of her armored form with a curse. Her guttural voice uttered,
How many?
A good handful. They seemed more confused than the low-level infected. They didn't sprint down the stairs right away or seem to focus on an area to target. I'm betting that if they noticed you, they would be much more active.
Open a passage, Cal, Dale chimed in, speaking aloud for his party's benefit. We don't have the strength to fight a large group of mages.
I gave a tiny mental nod, and the stairs in front of them slid open, revealing a few startled impalers and a glitter flit. Danny pushed past them and sat in the small room. The others joined her, though Tom began having trouble breathing when the walls closed around them.
I do not like this at all, Tom whispered, earning a glare from the people hushing him.
The mages are beginning to descend. Oh, crap! Who pushed the impaler out into the...
A blast of mana shook the stairway, vaporizing the impaler and putting cracks in the stonework in all directions. The attacking mage screamed, then began glowing and charged down the stairs. I thought that this was finally the end of the line for Dale's group, but the mage ran right past them, never turning around.
Huh.
I guess he thinks there's more prey down there. There was, so it was a fair assumption. The other mages saw the first runoff and chased him at high speed, eager to participate in some good old-fashioned killing. They raced down the stairs, pounding their feet in a deadly staccato. All of them passed the hiding place of the group, except the last, whose feet burst through the stairs and tripped him. He bounced headfirst off the floor. The mage stood up slowly, growling, and continued down the stairs with a growl.
The room is filling up again! Also, easily a dozen mages just entered the dungeon. You are only going to have a short while until they reach the boss room. Move! Go now! I barked instructions at Dale and Danny.
They nodded and started moving. Tom let out a sigh of relief as they left the enclosed area and rushed upwards.
In case you wanted to know, the mages that passed you have reached the floor and are starting to attack the fort. I need to concentrate down there for a bit. Good luck.
We need to hurry,
Dale told the others as they reached the top of the stairs.
He ran into Danny's still form.
That isn't good.
A near inaudible whimper left his lips. 28. The room, utterly filled with infected, went quiet for a moment. The collective sobbing of the crowd postponed before howls of rage filled the air. Reacting to the sound of prey being found, dozens of infected dropped through the opening in the ceiling. The weakest of them hit the ground and splattered gore across the room, dying upon impact. The remaining ones ran, limped, or crawled at their new targets.
Screw this!
Rose raised her bow and fired a jar of explosive oil into the crowd. It blasted a hole in the wall of infected, and the battle began. Tom, laughing, charged into the infected, acting as a battering ram. He used his shield as a mobile wall, and Nick scoffed at what he thought was a suicidal charge. When a large group had gathered to attack him, Tom took a sharp step back and swung his warhammer with a mighty grunt. A wave of death followed the swing. The beings hit directly had large swaths of their bodies blasted into vapor, their bones flying from their still-twitching corpses to act as projectiles.
I have missed this!
Tom roared, swinging his hammer ever faster. Nick's eyes were bulging from their sockets.
He's insane,
Nick whispered.
The leader of the collective looked to the side to see Dale pounding on infected with his, apparently, only cloth-covered hands, leaving behind craters in the flesh.
An arrow from Rose ripped through everything from her to the wall in a straight line, tearing through bodies and armor like paper.
Hans was jauntily strolling along, poking enemies with casual grace and disregard for his own safety.
They're all insane, affirmed Adam. Nick looked his way to see him ignoring several infected that appeared to be stabbing him with daggers.
If you don't mind, could you start clearing the area?
Nick shook himself, then threw his power hesitantly into the fight. Nez walked up to Adam and killed the infected near him with efficient strokes from his longsword. Nez looked over Adam, noting his mithril-lined robe and nodding.
Good. That'll make it a lot easier to protect you.
He settled in, killing any infected that tried to close with Adam. The goblins got into a tight group and made their way to the center of the fallen quartz plate. They pushed the infected back, slowly clearing the savages away from the rune. As soon as I had enough room to work, I began dissolving the bodies and any fluids left behind, leaving a sparklingly clear space for them to apply an even coat of the reagent. I would have done it myself, but the constant attacks from the infected kept throwing oral interference in the area, and I would hate to have to put down a half-formed version of the needed fluid. Danny left the quartz and began walking toward the tunnel that connected to the room. Taking a deep breath, she forced essence along her weapons. They began to glow slowly as she built up the essence to levels that became visible to the naked eye. Her breathing increased in speed, and she laboriously held her form, forcing the essence to the utmost compression. With a tortured scream, she released a torrent of holy fire, and it surged down the tunnel. Released from their mortal coil, the infected in the tunnel simply died. They exploded into ash as the heat reached into the multiple thousands of degrees.
Now, Cal, drop the security door!
Danny wheezed as she collapsed. I dropped the 5-ton chunk of cursed earth granite, cutting off the only tunnel into the boss room. Thank goodness. I had been unable to release the panic doors, cut off by the auras in the area. Infected still jumped down from above, but now there was only one direction for the enemy to appear. For now, at least. In the tunnel, infected were shattering their centers as they raced into the molten tunnel and had their limbs melt off. Explosion after explosion rocked the corridor, and the rock began to crack. Adam stepped onto the quartz plate and pulled the huge jar of reagent from his storage bag. With steady hands, he used the built-in nozzle to begin pouring the viscous fluid along the lines of the inscription. He went at a measured pace, not only because he didn't want to make a mistake, but also due to the fact that the fluid left the container oh so very slowly. He bent down to fill a deep portion of the rune, and Dale used him as a springboard to punch a sprinting infected in the face.
"Done!"
Adam shouted several minutes later. A ragged cheer reached his ears while he noticed that the rune wasn't doing anything.
"The activation sequence! Where is it?"
A moment of frantic searching turned up the missing chunk of quartz, and Adam began filling its lines with the remaining fluid. They were moving toward the rune to place the piece, when a familiar body landed next to the rune, falling from above. Dozens more fell to the ground from on high. The area seemed to go still, just for a moment. Dale saw the face contorted by rage and shuddered. The words that left his lips caused the fight to return to its previous intensity.
"Father Richard, no."
Cal. I was looking in on my other pet, minion, Minya. She seemed to be doing well.
"Fear death not," she intoned above the raging battle. "Our work empowers our dungeon, and with each death, we will increase our reward in the afterlife."
This was met with sideways glances and muttering.
"With each enemy slain, we increase our rewards in this life."
That was the way to get the people motivated, it seemed. A constant flow of valuables. Well, if that was the case... When a group of infected was cleared enough for me to create things, I rained down an explosion of shining gold coins. The defenders were quiet for a moment, and then all abyss broke out. They redoubled their efforts, and with every explosion of the elements, I followed it with a hail of coin. Chandra whooped at the suddenly vigorous group and spread her hands out over the crowd of flailing attackers.
"Hold on to something," she screamed in delight.
Thousands of seeds left her outstretched palms, seemingly appearing from nowhere. Thick foliage and intertwined vines grew in front of their fort and the defenses holding the group of nobles. I was disappointed at first, as she had been preparing to attack for almost half an hour. The infected were trying to attack the barrier, but having little effect on the dense vegetation. Then the attack portion of her incantation went off. Thousands of thorny vines sprouted from the seeds in the air, wrapping around anything moving. The infected in the area were suddenly all pinned to something. The floor, each other, themselves. They struggled to escape for a moment, then collectively relaxed, shattering their centers. The room shuddered, and the explosion was so loud that any non-mage was instantly deafened. Chandra laughed as the elemental storm broke against her barrier of flora, then sat down to enjoy the fireworks. I worked overtime to collect all of the essence that was suddenly in the air and within my grasp. The corruption-gathering gemstones threaded throughout my body began sucking at the air, desperately trying to bring the dungeon system back to homeostasis. The corruption gathered into a thick sludge that, surprisingly, started moving. A slime mob? No. Nope, I want no part in that. Not again.
Again? What?
I shuddered at the memory of a night a while back, forgotten for some reason. I would think about that later, if I remembered. Remembered what? Huh. That was strange. A rune that I had never noticed before shimmered into view, and whatever was on the floor vanished with a plop and bubble as it jiggled and wiggled. Bizarre. Oh, right! A huge amount of creatures had just died. I looked at the fort, where all the defenders were waiting with bated breath and staring at the now open space. I made a small mental shrug, then created a sheet of gold coins across the entire room. The people cheered with happiness and greed as the coins rattled and clinked. The hailstorm of ringing metal almost drowned them out. Then I noticed that there was a new group entering the room. Even before the cheering died down, one of the infected mages raised a hand and squeezed. The stone wall the defenders were attacking from shattered, spilling people into the open area. On the plus side, they had access to a sea of shimmering gold. Conversely, well, there was nothing between them and the mages. The mages started forward, moving at high speeds. One allowed himself to fall flat, an inch of space between him and the ground. A gust of wind propelled him forward, and a ringing boom trailed his passage, echoing tremendously in the dungeon.
Interesting. It is possible to move fast enough that you temporarily shatter the air around you?
I was taking meticulous mental notes as the mages moved, since all of them were activating some kind of ability. The humans were not having as fun of a time with this, since they were dying. That tended to ruin the mood. I spoke at Dale and Danny.
In case you wanted to know, the mages that passed you have reached the third floor and are starting to attack the fort. I need to concentrate down there for a moment.
Two of the mages were tearing open small holes in reality, and bird-like creatures, possibly giant wasp-like creatures, depending on if you think birds can have stingers, were pouring out of the rippling portals.
I was very excited by this, until one of them was killed and turned out to be merely a mana construct.
No new mobs for me.
I still examined the tears hanging in the air. They had similar qualities to my dimensional bag. These required a bit of mana constantly, unlike a magical item. Good to know it was possible to create temporary effects without needing an item. I memorized the pattern and watched the fight. A wave of light passed from one of the infected, the particles amalgamating into a spear of luminous metal.
A holy weapon, mage?
The spear flew forward, then shattered into thousands of miniature flechettes, shredding, screaming people as they were continuously fired into the fortified area. As the shards of spear struck, they shattered further, and those shards hung in the air, daring anyone to breathe them in. Anyone breathing in the dust-like metal clutched their neck, gasping as blood poured out of their orifices. The mage zipping around low to the ground had invisible blades made of air surrounding him. He didn't bother to move his arms or give any signs of attack, simply ramming through bodies. Literally through them. About a foot from where his body touched them, the people would just be violently blended by whirling air. When his flying form impacted the newly ground corpses, they splattered apart, chunks of body falling to the ground. In the first few seconds, at least 40 people died. Then my pet mages retaliated. Chandra stepped forward, face twisted in a rictus of pure pissed-off fury. She began chanting, firing thorns that intercepted the flechettes with ease. Her focus shifted as she devoted a minimal amount of attention to keeping the attack going. Chandra was a terrifyingly powerful mage, the only currently known A-rank 9 cultivator in the Phoenix Kingdom. Splitting her focus was never an issue. Chandra was a master multitasker. While her specialty was plants, she had powerful earth and water magic to augment her abilities. She popped open a water skin and drew out all of the moisture, compressing the water and infusing it with mana. With a poke of her finger, the water moved in a thin stream at unimaginable speeds. The rock wall behind the mage split in a perfectly straight line. The mage himself stumbled, then fell into two halves with a grotesque slapping splurt as his entrails slipped out of him. I was watching with fascination. Water could cut through not only a body, but stone? I'm sure that the infusion of mana helped, but was that something water could do naturally at high compression? This had already been a banner day for information, and the fight was just starting. I remembered at the last second to redirect the mana into my dimensional storage space. I shuddered. That had been too close. Amber was speaking in a conversational tone, her words subtly making the air thrum. One of the mages that was summoning wasp constructs slumped, and his creatures turned on him. They tore him apart a small chunk at a time, his naturally durable body resisting their efforts. Someone glanced at her, and she shrugged.
I convinced his mind that he was his own worst enemy. He was already programmed to attack his enemies, so...
Minya was going toe-to-toe with the wind-powered mage, and she was losing pretty badly. She specialized in elemental magic, and blasts of fire, stone, and water rained down upon the infected mage. His whirling wind, infused with unhealthy amounts of mana, redirected even her most well-timed attacks. Minya was working to counteract the wind with her own ability, but the highly specialized wind mage was able to ignore the majority of her blows as he counterattacked. Minya's skin began to tear as she was assaulted by atmospheric speed winds. She tried to leap away, but the wind caught and blasted her into the stone, imprinting her into the solid granite. She began to scream, but even that was torn away as the air rushed into her.
Dale. Father Richard, Dale whispered as he slowly raised his fists. The priest turned bloodshot eyes on the young man.
Dale. Run,
he moaned, tears forming as a sob ripped out of him. Surprise showed in his eyes as his body moved without his consent, a glowing fist soaring at Dale. Dale yelped and ducked, pushing up instinctively with his hands. He caught Father Richard's arm at the elbow, surprising himself. Trying to stay ahead of a devastating blow, he gripped the unyielding muscle and twisted. To Dale's surprise, the priest went flying, landing heavily several feet away. The man got back to his feet, totally unaffected. Father Richard stumbled toward Dale, uncoordinated as he tried to fight the invasive parasite controlling his actions. He threw another wild punch, which Dale dodged again, following up with a 1-2 combo before putting some distance between them.
"Are you in there, old man?"
Dale called at the slightly glowing priest. The only response was a stumbling charge. Father Richard suddenly stopped, shuddered, and looked at Dale with clouded eyes. His steps now were smoother, and his speed increased dramatically.
Oh, shit! Tang!
Father Richard was now flying backward, and impacted the wall hard enough that he stopped moving for a moment as dust rose in a cloud away from the stone. Dale looked in wonder at Tom, who had landed a full-power blow on the priest as he was running. Tom was hopping up and down, shaking his hand.
Ow, ow!
Thanks for the rescue, Tom, Dale called. He hurried to find a better defended position before Father Richard started moving again.
Sunder,
was all Dale heard before flying into Tom.
What?
Dale yelled at Tom to let him go, but no matter how much they tried, they were stuck together.
I'll distract him,
Hans shouted as they were futilely struggling. He was going full out, a glowing line of plasmatic fire highlighting the edge of his weapons. Every movement was smooth, although it seemed that the wind was favoring him by enhancing his movements to triple their normal speed. Hans reached Father Richard, and his body became a blur.
Stab, 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 stab.
The priest howled with vexation as his clothes ignited. He took a few swings at Hans, which were easily avoided. Hans kept moving, poking his blade at every weak point possible. During Richard's howl, a blade poked the back of his esophagus, his gums, and the uvula twice. There was no effect. Richard's body was too empowered by the mana flowing through him. Richard locked red-stained eyes on Hans and whispered a word that could only be understood as,
Sonder.
Hans started to be pulled away, so he landed a double kick to Richard's groin. Again, no effect.
Really?
Hans yelped as he was also stuck to Dale.
I've always wanted to know if mana took care of that issue, but this isn't how I wanted to find out.
Tom looked at the two men he was stuck to.
I am uncertain how his magic works. Is there a weakness?
Hans sighed as he gained his footing, lifting the other two as easily as a backpack. He has a weird mana base. Celestial and infernal users often find odd concepts to bind to. He shook his head, rattling Tom a bit. His magic is based on the bonds between people and how they all interact. He jumped, avoiding a hurled stone lab. I had no idea he could use it to physically bond people together.
Whatever you say, Hans.
Dale was trying not to get sick as his perspective changed and death missed him by inches.
Just keep going.
Sonder!
Hans slammed to the ground, bound by an irresistible force.
"Apparently," Hans wheezed, "he can bind us to more than just each other."
He vomited as the pressure affected his inner ear, splattering bile across the tube bound to him.
"This is a terrible way to go,"
Dale snarled, shifting his position as much as he could. He was trying ridiculously hard to keep his face out of the growing puddle of partially digested food as Father Richard stalked toward them. Whap! An oversized arrow hit Richard, knocking him back a foot. Another hit his face, exploding into flames that blocked the priest's view for a moment. Arrow after arrow impacted, but none had any more effect than simply yelling at him would have. He raised his hand, and Rose flew to him, her forehead binding with his palm. She smacked into it with enough force to cause her a moment of blackout. Rose came around just as Father Richard raised his hand to strike her. His glowing hand began to descend as Hans screamed. The priest paused, and Rose went limp. Between them was a glowing ball of essence. Neither of them could look away, and both were locked in position as the ball of glowing light began to dissipate.
"Chaos essence!"
Hans whooped as he felt a rush of pride for her. Then he only felt terror as Richard began to shake off the effects. Just as the powerful mage began moving again.
"Done!"
Adam screamed, giving the activation rune a final twist. 29. The world seemed to end in a wave of light as a thunderclap of celestial essence imbued with a special purpose reagent tore through reality. The light formed a perfect sphere, ignoring any physical material that got in its way. At ground zero, Dale's group was blasted to the wall, damaged and healed almost simultaneously. They remained pressed against the wall as the pressure of flowing essence stripped away layers of skin. They may have screamed, but there was no sound. There was no time. The cure was worse than the disease for the infected, tearing large chunks out of them as the parasite tried to abandon them and flee. Again, there was no time. Thousands of bodies caught in the wave of power simply died, and only a fraction of them were within the dungeon's sphere of influence. The mages fighting on the third floor were slammed to the ground, and the deeply ingrained infection nearly tore their bodies to bits. Some of the defenders cried out as unknown sores and spores were eradicated from their system. As the bodies were forced onto the ground, the light vanished as if it were simply a figment of the imagination. People looked around, their adrenaline pumping as they searched for the next enemy to fight.
Almost a full minute passed in silence before a ragged cheer was struck up and joined by nearly all the survivors. Then there was a general scrabbing and rioting as I made another wave of gold wash over the dungeon floor. I reward those that serve me, even if they do so inadvertently. My mind turned upon the first floor, watching as Dale and the others, including the remaining goblins, eased themselves off the ground and stood on shaking legs. They looked around at the destruction that was already beginning to fix itself in amazement. They had survived. Adam was unconscious. Rose was checking on him as Hans rolled over Father Richard, searching for signs of life.
"He's breathing."
Dale ran over, seeing the huge tracts of flesh that were torn out of the mage's body. The wounds seemed to be sealing themselves, and Father Richard glowed with internal celestial light.
"Will he make it?"
Hans shrugged.
"Anything that doesn't outright kill a mage, well, probably won't. He should have a good chance of coming back from this. It may take a while, but he should be okay."
Dale whooped, shouting and pumping his fist in the air. Hans smiled at his exuberance.
They made Father Richard as comfortable as possible and went to check on Adam. There was a grim outlook for their friend, though it seemed that Adam was waking up. His eyes fluttered open, and they recoiled when they saw his eyes. What had been the whites were now a shining, corrupted, celestial gold.
"Huh? What's that?"
Adam muttered painfully, tongue swollen in his mouth.
"His affinity channel for celestial essence," Hans whispered in awe. "It's beyond open. He has a higher than 100% affinity for it.
his infernal affinity channel was ripped out. Replaced.
Hans looked sick.
I don't know what this means for you, Adam. I do know that you are corrupted beyond anyone I have ever seen with celestial essence.
Nez extracted himself from a crater in the floor. It closed behind him as I noticed the unsightly blemish in my pretty granite.
Ugh, he moaned as he stretched his back and cracked his neck.
What?
What happened to you?
Hans looked at the man judgmentally.
He pulled me back down to Earth,
Adam breathed heavily.
The blast started directly under me. I went through the hole and was continuing up at a speed I didn't know was possible. He appeared and wrapped me in static, which drew me back down safely while he took my momentum. He set about saving me at the cost of doubling the force of his own impact.
You are conscious for that? Nez coughed out some rock dust. It didn't look like you were.
Adam looked at him, puzzled.
I was just repeating you. No one was listening to what you were saying for some reason.
He looked around, trailing off as the others looked at him oddly.
You read a piece of his recent history off of his aura.
Hans was looking at Adam's eyes with great interest now.
This could be a very useful ability.
You could see the truth in a situation,
Rose babbled, patting Adam on the back and helping him up.
You could save hundreds of people that were wrongly convicted, or...
How do you feel about card games?
Hans interrupted her by swinging an arm around Adam. Rose glared at Hans.
He has a new ability that he gained by sacrificing his body and saving all of us, and you want to use said ability to cheat at card games?
No,
Hans indignantly took a step away.
I want him to cheat at card games for the both of us.
Rose looked ready to explode, but Adam put a calming hand out to her.
This is how he tries to come down after a battle, joking in tough situations.
He took a shuddering breath.
I'm ruined for cultivation. There is no way I could rank higher than I am with this level of taint. He's trying to keep me calm.
Then again, this ability may be super annoying instead.
Hans grumped as he looked around. Where's the Nick guy?
He ran back to the Basher Warren and never left after he saw you all start to fight Father Richard, I told Dale, whose face darkened.
Nick came out of the stairway just then, grinning broadly and cheering.
You are all amazing.
Go downstairs and tell the defenders that it is over, Dale got out through grinding teeth. You can at least be useful as a messenger.
Nick's face turned red and furious. With shaking hands, he turned around and marched downward.
Wow, Dale. Where did that come from? That was harsh and uncalled for.
Rose crossed her arms and glared at Dale. The others didn't try to defend him either.
What if he had just been blasted into the tunnel? I saw him fighting at the start.
No, Dale shook his head. When he saw Father Richard show up, he slipped away and hid in the Basher Warren. He left us to die. I feel no pity for him, and I refuse to rescind my words or apologize.
The others were awkwardly silent as Dale busied himself picking up Father Richard. They started their trek down to the third floor, with the few remaining goblins trailing along.
Cal.
Oh, come on, Danny! I need you down here to translate for these elves. They won't leave me alone and keep caressing the Silverwood tree in a creepy sexual way.
I shuddered as Jason tickled Brianna with a leaf.
So odd.
Cal, you want me to just drop out of the Amazon and leave this huge amount of mithril laying around?
Danny retorted tiredly.
Well, no, but...
I'll get down to the spawn room and come straight to you,
Danny assured me.
I'm sure the elves will leave soon if no enemies show up.
Fine, but if they try to take the armor...
Their mana will force them to leave it there before they leave the dungeon.
Well, I just miss you. Hurry down,
I finally admitted to her. A smile tinged her tired voice.
I'll be there soon,
she said aloud. The group limped into the third floor to see scores of people crawling around on all fours.
What the...
The floor is gold, Dale!
Hans shrieked like a teen girl and dove at the floor.
Well, there are coins all over it. I was starting to feel embarrassed by that, and was making the coins that hadn't been collected vanish slowly. The group collected coins for half an hour while Danny waited patiently to be let into the fort.
Hey, I'm really close to reaching the B rankings, and I just had a bit of inspiration. I'm going to be thinking about foundational effects of primordial energy and how matter and energy are actually the same thing, and...
Go ahead!
Danny sounded a bit panicked for some reason.
I'll be right down. Then I'm sleeping for a week.
The fort gate opened, and Dale's group, now in more dignified positions, entered. The gold had been cleaned up, so I sank into my contemplations, waiting for everyone to leave so that I could repair all the damage.
Dale. Entering the fort, Dale's group was met by cheering, hugs, and sobbing. Rose was intently inspected by Chandra before giving her the okay to go anywhere again. Hans and Dale left Father Richard with the healers and joined the gathering. There was to be a small meeting of the council, but all they decided was that they needed to take a few days to recuperate. Dale looked over to see the goblins entering the small spawn room and decided to go and thank them before they became enemies again. He walked over, spotting the Amazon removing her helmet. He opened his mouth to offer his gratitude when a spray of blood splashed wetly across his face. Confused, Dale looked down. He wasn't injured? He looked up to see the Amazon goblin slumping as its head rolled away.
What the abyss are you doing?
Nick glanced at Dale and scoffed. What? You expect me to believe that I'm going to have a warm reception here? With you in charge? He ducked down and collected the mithril helmet. Do you have any idea what this is worth? I won't need to bother coming back. Dale was furious that Nick had killed a goblin instrumental in their survival.
How are you planning to leave? Did you forget that the portal is closed? You going to walk?
No need for that. Nick turned with a sickly grin. He held up a small enchanted vial. Emergency portal access. Let me get where I need to go, as long as I can make it to the portal arch. His eyes flickered past Dale, and an awestruck look crossed his face. He shot forward, and Dale yelled, ducking into a defensive position. Looking at where the man was currently standing, Dale gasped to see a shining pink orb trapped in bands of mana.
What are you doing?
He repeated the words again in the span of a few seconds.
It's a real dungeon wisp, Nick whispered. I thought I had imagined it, looking down into the boss room weeks ago. A dungeon wisp?
Dale looked at the orb of swirling light.
Wait! Minya told me that dungeons go insane if they lose their wisp. You can't take that!
Nick looked at Dale, sneering mightily.
Like I care.
His eyes shone with greed.
The bounty for a dungeon wisp? I'll never need to. Get off my...
Dale bellowed, all he could get out before a fist impacted his throat.
Can't be having that now, can we? Nick tisked at him. Who knows? I may need to come back someday.
I'm Danny!
A tiny chiming voice sounded.
Tell Cal that I will find a way back. I prom...
A heavy fist impacted Dale's face, and the world went dark. 30. Dale woke up with a start. Someone was waving a vile-smelling vial under his olfactory organ.
Gah! No, never that!
Dale.
Chandra's calm voice reached him through his sputtering.
What happened?
What?
Dale looked around. They were in what remained of the church. A bitterly cold wind was blowing in through the holes in the walls and roof. Amber stepped forward, eyes flashing.
Do you know who the Abyss used a highly illegal portal jump? People are dead from this, and trust in the Portal Guild has plummeted.
Realization was slowly dawning in Dale's mind, and he threw off his blanket, trying to run out of the room. He was stopped by Frank, who was just entering the room.
Wow, where is the fire, young man?
Frank queried him, holding him with his unbandaged arm.
Shouldn't you be in bed? You had a nasty head wound.
Dale stopped, knowing that they needed explanations.
The person who used the portal was Nick, leader of the collective. He started to sink into despair as it dawned on him that he was too late. "Where did he go?" he asked weakly, already sinking into depression.
"We don't know,"
Amber stated grimly.
"That is one of the reasons they are so illegal. That, and also if someone is using the portal and it is intercepted, they get cut in half."
"That is horrible, but..." Dale was interrupted.
"Damn right it is!"
Amber was about to go on a full tirade when Dale held up a hand. "I'm sorry, but I have more bad news." He took a breath. The dungeon's wisp was taken. The group looked at him, nonplussed. Chandra broke the silence.
"So a collector took a mob? That isn't uncommon, Dale."
Minya strode into the room, eyes fixed on Dale.
"Are you sure?"
Dale nodded. "I was there. That's why he attacked me."
"What is the big deal?"
Frank's voice had high notes of nervousness creeping in. Minya sighed.
"This is why my lore is so important, but no one bothers to read it. Frank, when a dungeon loses its bonded wisp, its dungeon wisp, it goes insane. Its influence spreads wildly and corruption becomes rampant. That is usually when a crusade is called to kill a dungeon."
Like the Cantor incident?"
Frank shook, gripping the wall for balance.
"Is that what caused the disaster?"
Minya nodded grimly. Chandra leaned her head against the wall.
"This is bad. Should we take preemptive action and kill the dungeon now?" "We have time, and that needs to be a last resort,"
Minya hurriedly stated.
"If the dungeon dies, so does Dale and so do I."
Amber looked at Dale.
"I think it is time we all had that chat we've been looking forward to."
"I think so." Dale nodded and began his story. Cal.
"I think I've got it, Danny. I know exactly what I need to do to enter the mage rankings."
I smiled brilliantly, looking around for my partner.
She always had the best reactions to good news. "Danny?"
I cast my mind about, but she wasn't in here.
She must be flying around.
Something felt different. I ached.
How strange.
I examined myself and found the issue. There was a rip in my aura. I tried to fix it, but it resisted my tampering. I looked closer. It wasn't so much a tear as a horrendous stretch, extending so far away from me that essence was leaving but was unable to cycle back to me. If I remembered correctly, that was the part of my aura bound to Danny?
"Danny?"
I shouted frantically.
Maybe she just couldn't hear me.
"Danny!"
I shouted. No response. I flooded my aura with an amount of essence that I would normally be horrified about wasting.
"Danny! Danny!"
I screamed from the bottom of my soul, essence flooding the world around me. Weaker beings went through a short period of rapid growth as the massive surge of power flooded their affinity channels, forcing natural evolutions upon their bodies. Those that survived would have interesting changes that even just yesterday I would have loved to study. Today, I was a broken soul.
"Danny! Danny!" I broke off, sobbing. "Danny?"
"Cal." A pained voice broke through my weeping.
"Dale! Dale! Danny is missing! You need to help me!"
I latched onto his voice like a lifeline. Dale had legs. He could go find her.
"She must have flown too far away and gotten trapped. She's likely weak from loss of essence. You have to..."
"Cal!"
Dale called firmly, cutting off my babbling.
"I'm so sorry. I'm going to do everything that I possibly can to get her back for you."
My dread shifted into suspicion.
"Dale, what do you know?"
"Cal, we are..."
"What do you know?"
I screamed at him, and the room jumped 10 degrees as fire essence flooded the room. He paused, stunned by my anger directly assaulting his brain.
"Cal!"
"Danny was taken. By Nick, the leader of the collective. He ran and teleported away before we could stop him. She talked to me.
She said she would find a way back to you no matter what.
I stared at him, and even though I didn't have actual eyes, I could project a mental image of myself into his mind. She was taken?
You didn't stop him?
Cal, I tried.
Dale petered off as the air began to fill with corruption. The light shifted from a soft blue to an undulating patterned red.
My voice was the barest of whispers as I turned to my work. I am going to kill you all. I had so much to do. There was no time. No time like the present. I shifted my attention away just as someone else entered the dungeon. How did it go?
Dale let out a heavy sigh and a few tears. He gulped, trying to clear his voice.
You were right, Minya. He's already drifting into dungeon madness.
Epilogue. Nick swallowed dryly as he was led into the musty castle. He would have been feeling far more confident if his escort hadn't been an infernal essence-radiating demon. Nick yelped as the creature spoke, its terror-inducing voice echoing,
"The master approaches. I would offer you a seat, but I would highly recommend kneeling."
Nick had to resist scoffing at the demon. He turned as it spoke, realizing it was gone.
Kneeling? Pah.
He shivered as an aura of dread washed over him, far greater than the feeling had been from the demon. He turned and had to resist a scream as he saw a person standing near a wall. There were no doors nearby, so Nick had no idea where he had come from.
Is a little respect too much to ask for?
A melodious yet rasping voice buzzed in his ear. Nick swatted at his head. The sensation was maddening.
Not at all, my lord.
Nick genuflected a bit late, but deeply.
Demons have a reputation for misleading information.
The dark figure strode forward, and Nick's skin began to itch horribly.
I am told you are here to claim the bounty that I was offering. Is this so? If so, you will certainly get what is coming to you.
Nick reached into his bag, pulling out a glowing ball of essence wrapped in bands of undulating power. His cocky attitude began to return to him as he realized he had something the master wanted.
Right here. It's all yours. If you have the funds, of course.
A burning stare made his attitude wither again. The master made a motion, and they were surrounded by a sphere of smothering darkness. Somehow, Nick could still see perfectly without any natural light.
Release the creature. If it is what you promised, you will get your reward.
Nick wanted to refuse, but he got a little too close to the wall of darkness and had bits of his skin flake off.
If it gets away, I'm still claiming my...
He found himself unable to finish his sentence, and so instead broke the bands of power, allowing the ball of light to shoot away at high speeds. Nick gave a hoarse cry, but the ball of light impacted the darkness and fell, catching itself just before reaching the floor.
Ow! Let me... Go, you assholes!
Danny screamed at the pair.
You have no idea what is going to happen if you don't!
Nick's face twisted into a snarl, but the master smiled. The smile was a terrifying expression that seemed to have no place on his face.
Finally. Hello, little wisp.
Let me go!
The master gave a slow shake of the head.
I am truly sorry, little one, but I have need of your services. Also, you are mistaken. I know exactly what is about to happen.
Danny vanished in a burst of shadows. Satisfied? Nick had his arms crossed and a grin on his face. Now, about that bounty, I'd like to go retire.